also from MudhouseMedia.com. Join Patrick McEnroe as he has conversations with incredible guests on his tennis podcast, Holding Court. Share his love of tennis, the tournaments, events, and news with other professional athletes, artists, Hollywood stars, and CEOs. Exclusively on the Mudhouse Media Network and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Tanya's Table. On this week's episode, I'm speaking to one of my favorite fellow entrepreneurs, Ayesha Curry. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking the time, busy lady.
Of course. I'm so excited. I was actually in Oakland yesterday.
Yeah.
I went to Brittany's Salon Good Body.
Yes. And isn't it gorgeous?
So gorgeous. And yeah. I was like, dang.
I'm like, I wish I had hair. Oh, yeah, I'm not open. I told Brittany, I was like, I wish I had hair. I was like, no, not really, but it's gorgeous. And I saw your post. I was like, there she is. This is so exciting.
Yes, we were in Canada for almost 2 months. So
oh, wow.
We're back home now. Yeah.
And where's your family? You're Toronto area, right?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Cool.
So we were there. It was great. It was the only way I'd be able to see my grandma and my extended family. So.
Oh, nice.
My Canadian citizenship got us in.
Yeah. Well, good. I know. That's right. They're not letting us all in anymore.
No, not right now, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I grew up in Rochester, New York. I don't know if you know that, but
I
used to spend summers going to, I mean, I love Toronto. I thought I would move there one day because.
Oh, my God. I have no idea.
Yeah.
We lived in Buffalo, New York.
Oh, you did?
For a while, which I know isn't far.
Yeah, not at all.
When I was a baby.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, that's crazy.
Yep. So I know that weather up there and the landscape and Young Street. I used to live to go shopping up there. Because, you know, that area always was. Oops, lost her. That's. Ooh, I'm not sure what happened. We lost you there for a second.
Me either.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. So when I was growing up, like there was just a lot more European influence, obviously, in Toronto. So the style just was inspiring for me. And I imagine that's influenced you some because you're really into aesthetics. Yeah.
I would say, but the area I grew up in was a little bit outside of Toronto, a smaller town called Markham. Mm. And I would say there was more like cultural diversity.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so I was there, I lived there until I was 14 and then moved to North Carolina. So that was like a huge culture shock.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. And what took your family to North Carolina?
So I have an uncle and an aunt that live there. Mm-hmm. And my uncle is a pulmonologist. And at the time I had the thought that I wanted to be one too. We'd always visited there during the summers.
Mm-hmm.
My mom's Jamaican, so she hates the cold. And so she was like, let's just move to North Carolina before you start high school. If we're going to do it, we're going to do it. And literally that's all there is to the story. That's how we ended up there.
Wow. But then, and look how life-changing that was for you. Did you meet Steph in high school or college?
In high school. So he's actually one of the first people I met
moving
to the States at church youth group. So
that's amazing.
Pretty wild. Yeah. We didn't start dating until college though.
Okay.
But yeah. We go way back.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, I have, you know, some family in the South, and I've definitely spent time there, and those summers can definitely get warm, but it's a different world from Canada, that's for certain. And now you're out here in California. Is this going to be your home forever, or how are you feeling
about
it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, me too. I love it.
If it's up to us, I would say even if, like, you know, Stefan's plan is to stay with the Warriors his whole career, if we're lucky, you know.
Yay.
So if, you know, if it's up to us, we're definitely staying here, and this is where we've kind of put our roots down.
That's great.
With our kids, and we feel like you have the best of every world here.
I agree.
With, you know, farms and produce and
Mm-hmm. The getaways are so accessible too, and they're so diverse. You know, the mountains, the river, the ocean. Absolutely. That's what I love about it, and it's diverse. You know, there's
it really is.
Variety of folks here, which makes it interesting. But then, being into food and hospitality, as you know, you are, you and I both are too. It's a great place to be. Mm-hmm. Just spoiled.
It is. We really are.
And I want to, start by saying congratulations on the launch of the magazine.
Thank you.
Sweet July. It's really lovely. I'm really happy for you. It's great. Was that a newer vision, or is this something you always thought of? I mean, you know, every time I turn, it's something new. It's like, what is she doing next?
I feel like it's my big girl brand. Like, it's this culmination of things that I've dreamed of for so long and just didn't think I could accomplish in such a sleek way. And I lucked out and had a great team of people around me, and Meredith Corporation, who's my parent company, saw the vision and reached out, and
that's wonderful.
It kind of all just fell together. And so I've just been so grateful through the process, but it really is this, like, it's all of my ideas put into one place that makes so much sense, just because it is Sweet July, and it is, you know, all of the things that bring me joy and happiness, whether it's food or lifestyle or things, you know, it's just so multifaceted. And so I'm really excited about it, and to just have an outlet to, you know, use my voice in a positive way. And, you know, be yet another form of representation. I think it's such an honor to be able to have space there.
Yeah, because you're the third African-American woman to have a magazine, her own magazine.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I would say,
on like a mass platform like that, it's the third one, I guess, which is, it's exciting to be that, but it's also at the same time, you know, a little bit sad that it's taken so long.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but you're doing it. So I'm, and I have to tell you, when I saw the title of the magazine, I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then I found out the stories behind it, your wedding anniversary, and the kids. And by the way, I think July's the sweetest month too, because it's also the month that I was born. I was born July 14th. I'm a Cancer, just like all your kids. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's awesome.
Yes.
People are the best.
Oh, aren't we? We really are.
That's awesome. Yeah. And it was like never planned that way. It literally was just what, I guess, God said, this is what it is.
Yeah.
This is what it's going to be.
Yeah. That's how it happens. That's just amazing, though. I was like, wow, all of them. That's amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, it's the seventh month of the year. Yep. Seventh always been my favorite number.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Just one of those divine numbers. Mm-hmm. And
when's your birthday?
So wild. March 23rd. So Stefan and I are both March babies.
Oh, okay. You're like, womp, womp, March 23rd.
Yes.
That's all good. That's all good. Oh, that's great. So the kids are all born in California too, right? So they're
Riley was actually born during the off season.
Oh, okay.
In Monroe, North Carolina.
Oh my word. Okay.
So yes. And then Ryan and Cannon were both born in Berkeley. So
well,
with the same doctor.
Oh, nice. Okay. East Bay babies. Well, they are adorable. Yes. I've loved watching you on Instagram with them. I just don't even know how you're doing it all. I know you have some help, but still, that's a lot to navigate.
I definitely have my like anxious days and my tired days, but then I mean, my girls are at the age now, they're 8 and 5. Mm-hmm. They're at the age now that they're seeing all of the things.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, it's so strange that they're like these little grown humans in these tiny little bodies, but they give me so much encouragement, and, aww, you know, they never guilt trip me for my work. And I think they're really proud of me, and that honestly keeps me going. So, but I do have my days, as I'm sure we all do.
Right. You wouldn't be, you know, a human if you didn't. But that's lovely. Yeah. They do seem like little adults in those bodies sometimes when I see the post, I'm like, oh my God, they're adorable. So
they're so logical. Because, I wasn't like that at that age.
Right. But they don't have any other, like, probably, you know, sense of how else to be, right? They're just,
yeah.
This makes sense, so mommy. True. That's so, so cute. And then, so tell me about the, when can we expect Sweet July flagship store to open? I'm eager for that because you're around the corner from my restaurant.
So we are hoping the very end of November. We're just rounding the bend with construction and, you know, following COVID protocols and all of that. So the hope is the end of November.
Wow.
So and right around the corner.
Yeah. How many square feet is the place?
Oh gosh, how big is it? It's, I want to say three.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's three. Yeah.
So what will you sell out of there? Tabletop, furniture, or?
So we have tabletop and then we have pantry items. So we have coffee, olive oil, which is a full circle moment for me because the first product I ever launched, like back in 2014, was an olive oil.
Oh.
And I was shipping it out of my house, like by myself. Like I wow. would. I would wheel my little cart to like the post office and USPS everything. And so now we're doing an Italian olive oil that was like inspired by my 30th birthday trip to Italy. And I'm just so excited about it. It's so fragrant and fruity and nutty. And I just can't wait for people to try it. And then we have like novelty items. Like we have a gorgeous spice rack. We have some linen bedding and reusable cups and just so things to just, you know, give you a little smile.
And you're sourcing from all over the world for your products.
We outside of the olive oil, actually, most of our products are locally sourced.
Oh, great.
So I'm very excited about that. And then we also have a program in store where we're going to be featuring, on rotation, mostly local black owned brands. Oh, and nice. So I'm really, really, really excited about that.
That's great. And thank you for your generosity in including me in the next issue. And
oh my God.
Highlighting our little group.
I was just looking at it. It looks so cool.
Really? I can't wait to see it. Oh, great.
Yeah.
When will it hit the newsstands?
The 30th. So I'll have to drop by some copies for you.
Oh, please. That'd be great.
Okay. Yes. It turned out wonderful. And I think it's so cool that we have this little four square of women, black owned businesses. I think it's so spectacular and I just hope we see more of it.
We do. And I know that, you know, it has to continue. We will see more of it. And if we, you know, I've been saying to people, I'm sure you feel the same way. You know, when you aspire to do things and you don't see examples that look like you, right? And other people haven't seen anyone who looks like you doing what you aspire to do. It can take a lot of work to convince them like, hey, I'm capable, or hey, you know, people will want this. And, you know, I commend you for just plugging through and opening doors and opening minds. And we just have to keep doing this kind of work.
Absolutely. Better together for sure.
I agree.
I get asked that question a lot, like, oh, why did you decide to dive into the world of food, like specifically the world of food for television so late? Well, I don't think it was late in life. I was 23, I don't think people realize that.
Yeah.
I was 23, but I'm like, because I didn't see it. Yep. I didn't see it. I didn't know it was a possibility for me. I've always, since I was 12 years old, loved doing it. And it's always been something that I've done for my family and friends, but I just didn't know, I didn't see it. So, and I'm sure you feel the same sentiment as well. And I just love that you're such a dominant powerhouse in the food world and just so happen to be a strong black woman. You know what I mean? I love
it. Thank you. Well, you know, I've been at it for a minute and again, didn't see anyone who looked like me doing it. I was like, I got to just keep it going because if I give up, then it's never going to happen. And it's been, you know, there's been challenges, but it's so rewarding when you do get to do what you love and, you know, you can influence and impact and inspire. somebody mm-hmm. like to pursue their own dreams because they saw you and they're like, oh, wow, she did that. I'm going to give it a try. You know, it's just great.
Yeah.
So your latest cookbook just came out too. I mean, this is a huge year for you.
Ironically. yes.
I know, right? Yeah. Let's ride the wave while you can, you know?
All right. I've been working on this for so long. It was a little strange to have it come out in the pandemic. I'm not going to lie, mm-hmm. but you know how pub dates go. They are what they are.
Yep.
But it's like another baby. I work so hard on this and it's a huge reflection of like what my cooking style is right now at home with my family.
But that also everybody was cooking. So it actually was a good time for it to come out, I think. Right.
True. Yeah. Very true. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, people were baking bread for crying out loud.
I know. That's a labor of love that I don't even attempt. I'm like, I'm good.
Me either. Everybody's like, have you been making more bread? No, absolutely not.
Leave that. I mean, we're so lucky to have great bakeries nearby. Yeah, like, leave it to those experts.
Absolutely. That's a scientific process. Mm-hmm. I just don't need to get involved in.
Yeah, I think you're more like me. I like savory cooking because you can improvise and, you know, if something goes wrong, it's easier to fix.
Absolutely.
I can bake, but it's not, you know, where I find my joy for sure.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. I probably need to stop telling people I can't bake. That's not true. I just don't enjoy it. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. It's not the thing that gets you excited. So, I mean, what is next? I mean, you're promoting the book right now. The magazine is still in its nascent state. You're going to kind of, you know, ride this for a while, or you've got some, you know, the store's going to open. So that'll take
some. The store's going to open.
Are you thinking of multiple locations for that?
No, right now, just Oakland.
Yay, lucky us. Thank you.
Yes, it'll be Oakland and online, but our flagship will just be in Oakland, and I'm so excited about it. Yeah. But with this cookbook, I mean, it's been 4 years since my last one, so there's no other one on the horizon, that's for sure.
And people don't understand how much time they take, right? Yeah. It's a 2-year process. I just sold third one, which means it won't be out for 2 years.
Congratulations!
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. It's called California Soul. And it's going to be how California has influenced my cooking, as well as we're going to, you know, write about the migration of African Americans to California.
Wow.
And how the food ways were influenced here. Yeah, I'm excited to get into it with a food historian. We're going to kind of delve as deep as we can. Yeah, I get some really good stories in there.
So. That's incredible. I cannot wait.
Thank you. But yeah, it's just like, it's such a long process, you know?
It really is.
I call it the most expensive business card ever too, because, you know, the amount of time you put into it, it's not like you get a big return on cookbooks, right?
Yeah, it really has to be a labor of love for sure.
Yeah. It's a great way though to share, you know, your passions, your, you know, what you love doing, but it's not.
And you create a little piece of your own history, you know, because it's there forever.
That's true.
I love that about like the publishing world. I just love having this tangible stamp in time.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. It's so true.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So I'm really, you know, again, I'm really like, I'm so proud of how you've become. You're just your own woman, you know. Obviously, you have this really strong partnership with your husband, and he's a superstar. But I love that you really held your own and, you know, independently created this brand for yourself. And to balance that, I can imagine has, you know, and I see that, I mean, from what I see from afar, he's incredibly supportive of you. And kudos to him as well, too, you know. Just really, it's lovely to see. It's lovely to see, to witness from afar.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been wild, but also not intentional.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I feel like I've let things naturally progress, and my family has been very supportive of those stepping stones. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's made a huge difference for me personally in my journey and willingness to take on the things that are coming my way. Mm-hmm. That support is everything to me. You know, they encourage me to do an opportunity where I come along and it's like a hard no for me because I'm scared mm-hmm. or anxious, or I feel like time's going to be taken away from my kids or me personally. And they're like, no, you literally asked God for this. So what you're going to do is you're going to go ahead and do mm-hmm. it, not mm-hmm. being scared. And so without them, I don't think, I definitely wouldn't be at the point that I am right now.
That's wonderful to have that support network. It's so key.
Yes. Yes. They do a great job at not letting me become stagnant inside of my own head. And it's so funny when you look at like the social media aspect of things, people, well, Stefan always says like, who is they, but, but they like have this idea of what things are. And it's just, it's almost laughable because it's just the complete opposite. Like our day to day is just, I think, so different from what people might perceive it to be. And I, outside of like all of the noise, I do feel like as working parents, our day to day is like very reflective of many working parents out there, where when the day is over, like we just want to spend time with our kids and like get the meal on the table. Mm-hmm. And that most days that's hard because the days get so busy. They're demanding, especially during this time. Mm-hmm. And so I like just feel for all of the parents, especially like I think about all the frontline workers. And,
oh my goodness. Yeah.
Like I can't imagine.
No. And the homeschooling of, you know, folks who I feel for you all. I really do. You know,
But I think if there was ever a time for people, like, regardless of where you are in life, like, it's just a time where we can all relate on at least the one thing.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like one of the main silver linings of this period in time is, excuse me, that people, I want to hope that there's a little bit more empathy, you know, that's been created, that there's more awareness of the fragility of, well, our industry, the hospitality industry, for sure. And a little bit more compassion, and then it has slowed people down. You know, I know several of my friends who are parents are like, well, now I'm spending more time with my kids, and, you know, it's just, I don't know, I feel like I believe in a higher power too, that I'm like, this was in the plan. We got a little out of control, you know. God was like, y'all need to slow down a little bit. However you want to call it. I just feel like it was time. It was time.
Yeah. It really has been a moment of like, what's important to mm-hmm. you? Like, let's figure this out.
Yeah, it's brought clarity. It's brought clarity to me in my life in terms of who I really want to give my time to and what I want to do with my time. And then the movement has just also magnified that because, you know, it's a great opportunity for us as strong Black women to, you know, again, use our platform and use our voice to impact change.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I completely agree. And I think it's going to be like so important for us going forward as well to just make sure that we like continue to uplift each other and help each other out and not like be our own worst enemy. I find that a lot of times we're so judgmental towards each other.
I know.
And we're doing the opposite.
I agree. And there's plenty of room for everyone. You know, I mean, I'm sure people have said to me like, well, what do you think of Aisha? I'm like, I think she's great. And I'm glad she's doing her own brand. Like there can be more than one Black woman in food, you know,
Yes.
I'm friendly with her. That's what I think of her. I think she's absolutely wonderful. I want to support what you do. We're doing very different things. We have very different perspectives and life views because, you know, I'm older and I've been doing other things and you're doing your thing. And, yeah, it's just
we all bring something to the table.
I agree. And I'm so glad that again that you have come to the neighborhood and you know, we have this wonderful supportive landlord who also shares the vision of like, let's have this be a district of black owned, you know, businesses. And it's going to be great. It's just getting better.
It really is special. And I've never seen it. So I'm just so thrilled to be a part of it.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it existed back when, you know, segregation was more enforced and business districts were just African-American owned. A lot of them were, you know, unfortunately, because of redlining or different situations, they didn't survive and thrive. So it's nice to be able to bring that back. And Oakland's the perfect place because of all the history.
Yeah, it's just, I agree.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's great.
I completely agree.
Yeah. So what about in front of the camera work? What are you doing? I know you had something you were doing with the Food Network, the game show. Are you still doing that or?
No, not right now, but we do have some, I don't even know if I'm allowed to talk about them yet. We do have some exciting things in the works. We just sold a show, but that's all I can really say about it. It's always going to somehow involve some sort of food or drink or something. I'll just say that.
Okay.
I'm just thrilled, but I'm going to take it. We're taking it easy in that space. And my goal is to really like with Sweet July Productions to help, you know, uplift other talent is really the goal. So we're always on the hunt for like the next food talent or, you know, just innovative people that need a platform.
Oh, that's great. That's great to know. If I think of some people, I'll send them your way as well. That's really great.
Yes, that would be incredible. Cause that's my ultimate goal. Cause you know how tumultuous and crazy the TV world is. Like it's with the kids, it just gets to be a lot. And so my goal is to just like uplift the next generation of people to come in.
Right. Let them do the work. I totally agree. And that's, you know, I think I'm sure you get asked this question too. And people, you know, I mean, one of the things that inspires me the most to create and to build, you know, my business, my enterprise is so that I can provide the opportunities for others. The ones that I didn't get or the ones that I wanted, you know, and it's just so gratifying when you can bring other people up or share your knowledge without any sort of, you know, terms that are unreasonable or whatever, or, you know, just to grow people. It's just got to be. That's what it has to be.
Yep, absolutely. A whole cycle.
Yeah. Yep. So speaking of beverage, you have a wine label, right? Do you have a winery with your sister-in-law?
Yes, with my sister-in-law, Sidel Curry Lee. Now she's married.
Nice.
Yes. But we are wine drinkers in our family. Oh. And I met through...
You're preaching to the choir.
Yes. Can't live without it, honestly. But my dear friend Adam Sobel, Chef Adam Sobel.
Yes, I know Adam.
He has a friend, John Schwartz, who is...
I know John. Yeah.
You know John?
I do.
So we partnered with John.
Oh, okay.
On our wine, Domaine Curry, Femme 31. And we started with a cab, and now we've worked our way into a Sauvignon Blanc, and those are our two offerings. And so it's been going...
Napa-based Napa. Varietals? Okay, great.
Yeah, Napa. You know, 85% cab. And then
15 Merlot or blend of something?
Actually, so it's interesting story. So our first blend, I didn't get to put my hands all over. That had Merlot in it. And then our second blend, we went in and did the blends ourselves, and I removed the Merlot entirely.
Oh, okay.
I like the herbaceousness of a petite Verdot. Petite Verdot a little bit.
Yep. Yeah.
And our second vintage, our 2016 actually had a better rating than our first vintage.
Then you put your touch on it. Okay.
I was like, oh yeah, girl power.
Oh, I can't wait to taste. Where can I find it?
I will send you some. Ooh. But it's actually available at Total Wine.
Okay.
Like all over Northern California and Safeway and our website.
And it's Domaine Curry. Okay. I love it. Yeah. That's on my wish list to have my own wine label one day. I'm actually, my goal is to have a property with a vineyard. I've just, ever since I, lived in France, I get so inspired by just seeing rows and rows of vineyards. And I love wine.
How long did you live in France for?
A year and a half. That's where I went to cooking school.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I was in Burgundy and it was amazing. And then I did a stage in Provence. This was like, let me tell you, this was incredible. So the director said, we owe you a placement in a restaurant. Where do you want to go? And I was like, well, I want to go to Provence. She's like, oh, I know just the place. It's an island called Porquerolles. There's three islands off the coast, like near Toulon and Saint-Tropez. And this particular one is, well, actually, one of them is where all the original seeds are. There's like orchard after orchard and vineyards of heirloom vegetables and fruits. And then one is a nudist colony. I didn't go there. And then the other one has a Relais and Chateau resort there. And that's where I worked. It's called Le Mas de Langoustier. And at the time that I was there, it was one Michelin star. But literally, like, one side of the island is white sand. The other side is black sand. It's incredible. What? Yeah, it's incredible. And there was a winery there called, I forgot the name of it, but he was making a rosé, a Provençal rosé, which is, I have a soft spot in my heart for that. So I asked him if he sold it in the United States at all. He's like, oh yeah, we like to sell it to other restaurants and other islands. And one place they sold it was the Oyster Bar on Martha's Vineyard. And that was my first summer cooking job on Martha's Vineyard. I went there. Yeah. So I just have this, I'm a Francophile. I mean, I love Italy too, but because I live there, and I was just there a couple of years ago in Bordeaux, and I know the Petit Verdot and Cab, that's like a classic Bordeaux mix, and I can't wait to try it.
Yeah, I'm ridiculously huge fan of French wines.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you.
Well, we'll have to do a tasting. So my favorites are, like I said, Provençal rosés, but Côte de Rhones. So like Chateau Neuf de Pape and all day long.
My goodness. France is our favorite, south of France in particular, our favorite place to vacation.
Oh, nice.
Like for our anniversary, we like to go every once in a while. So I will have to hit you up for.
I'm actually going to a wedding there next year. Some friends are getting married. I'm like, yes, I can't wait.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, totally hit me up. I might know a couple places.
I bet.
I can't wait till we can travel freely again.
I know.
Where's the first place you want to go?
So we were actually planning to go to Jerusalem for our anniversary this year. We're going to do it early and go in May, and that's like right in the thick of when everything happened, so we canceled it. So it'd be nice to go there, but I have a feeling it's going to be a while before that, so I would say back to France would be
perfect.
Ideal for me. I would love it.
I know. It's beautiful to get to know a country or any place through its food. I think that's the thing that connects us, that, again, you and I share. You really get to know a people, you really get to know a country by tasting, what they cook and what they eat that doesn't get exported.
Right.
And it just breaks down barriers. I just wish like more people would just be more open to it,
Yeah. So Stefan never he never liked tomatoes, like despised tomatoes. And then, of course, we travel to France and he tries a French tomato and fell in love. So it's actually the only place where he'll eat tomatoes, because the tomato is actually a tomato, unless we're growing them in our garden in the back.
Yeah.
But it's like you can really taste the difference. It's wild.
Completely. Because of the soil there is different, and I think people don't, all these things add up, the soil, the winds, the water, it adds up to the flavor of the wines, the livestock that's nearby, whatever it is. It's so complicated. And for me, that's what keeps it so interesting.
Right. Absolutely. We're waiting to see with our 2020 vintages, you know, all of Napa, of course, and Sonoma are waiting to see what smoke damage has been done to the barrels.
Mm.
But I just have a feeling it's not going to be great.
Yeah, it's so heartbreaking. It's really heartbreaking. But, you know, this has happened over the course of time. There's been years in winemaking where it's like, nope, you don't drink, you know, 1996 because there was like, you know, an infestation, or there was like no rain or too much rain, and, you know, there was mold. And it's the story of wine, which makes it fascinating.
Yeah, it's true.
Great.
So true.
Wow. Okay. I can't wait to try some Domaine curry.
Yes.
Will you sell that at Sweet July, or do you have not have a beverage license? You won't.
No,
okay.
No beverage license.
Okay.
No beverage.
That's too much. That's too much. So how are the restaurants? Have they been able to stay open and do takeout or the international smoke?
We've been blessed to be able to do takeout. We were able to reopen on Friday, actually.
In San Francisco?
In San Francisco,
okay.
To some capacity.
Yeah.
But our Del Mar location has been open for a while just because San Diego opened up a little sooner than other places.
Mm-hmm.
And Vegas is open as well to some capacity. But we've been super blessed to be able to stay afloat with, you know, our curbside and delivery orders. So that's been a blessing.
Yeah, same. I know. I'm so grateful that the community supports. And even, again, I think the general public is kind of getting it a little bit more, just how fragile the industry is, but also how important we are to the economy and to, in so many ways, you know, employing
absolutely
people who otherwise would not have an opportunity for employment, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And are there more locations planned for that? Are you guys good?
No, not right now.
You're like, no. It's a lot.
Right now, I feel like we're in rebuild phase, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm sure everybody's in the same boat. Just trying to get everything back to the new normal.
Yeah.
It's going to be. So that's the focus.
So let's see. I want to ask you some questions that, let's see, we might not think of. You know, people, that maybe people don't know about you, but is there a snack you like that you don't really want anybody to know that you eat? Like, is there like, do you have a little secret junk food or, you know, kind of fun snack?
We have these potato chips that we love in our family. They're called Martins.
Oh, I don't know.
They make them it's like a barbecue waffle style chip, and they make them in Virginia.
Really?
Yeah, you can order them on Amazon or get them in Virginia, but I haven't seen them anywhere else.
Okay, I'm going to have to look those up. You know,
so good.
Alice Waters said potato chips too.
Really? Yeah. Oh my gosh, I feel so special.
And you are. And you know, I have to say, like, I was such a sweet tooth for so many years, and I would say in the past 5 years, I've become more salty snack.
Me too.
I love potato chips. I mean, they're so good.
Me too. I used to be the girl that would like order dessert, like look at the dessert in the restaurant.
Same.
And that's all changed for me.
Yeah, me too. And yesterday I was getting something at this deli, and I got some Maui onion potato chips. Oh my God, they're so good. Have you ever had those?
Yes, it's that like sweet, mixed perfect balance of salt.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
You can only get like, I have to walk away though. I'm just like, no, walk away, Tanya. You can't get a second bag.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, I'm really glad, again, thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
Of course, thank you.
This has just been great to connect to this way, and I can't wait to see you in the neighborhood. Give me a heads up when you're in town.
I will.
Yeah, I'll be around. I'm in LA right now, but I'll be back Thursday. Wow. Yeah. Just had a chance. You know, everybody's, like you said, there's cooking shows. Mm-hmm. Content is really in demand right now with everybody kind of stuck at home. And it's been fun to do a couple little appearances here and there.
Awesome.
But I'm ready to come back to the Bay. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's always a nice homecoming anytime you're gone, even if it's for like 2 days. You come back, you're like,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to share with us, like that you're inspired by, that, you know,
I think I'm just inspired by the community of chefs and food personalities like yourself that have just been so warm and welcoming to me. And have been like willing to take me seriously. Like, it's just something that I'm always just so grateful and appreciative for. And I guess I just hope that I make you guys proud. And that's really it.
You do. And it's, you know, it's clear to me that, you know, this is not something you're just, you know, doing with smoke and mirrors, you know, no pun intended, but this is something you're really committed to. And it's part of who you are. Like you said, it's extension of you and your family. And, you know, I love the perspective that you're bringing to the industry and the, you know, the platform that you've created through all the mediums, the TV, the cookbook, and, you know, now the nesting store. It's great. It's great.
Thank you so much.
We'll continue to support and, you know, tell everybody that I know, even though we know so many of the same people.
I know.
It's crazy. Yeah. That's great. All right, Aisha.
Thank you.
Thanks again, and have a wonderful rest of your day. And
you too. I'll see you soon. I'll definitely be in. To eat.
Oh, please do. Please do. Give me a buzz. All right, you take good care. Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tanya's Table is a Mudhouse Media production. Original music by Coffee Brown. Music is produced by Coffee Brown and Julie Wolf. Tanya's Table podcast is produced by Brand AOK.
Like what you're hearing? Download and subscribe to all of our shows at mudhousemedia.com.